Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is October 22, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Bitcoin.com acquires Japanese blockchain developer O3 Labs. Watch, Ava blockchain founder plans to launch in December. Opera browser adds Bitcoin payments to Android update. Japan's third largest bank completes blockchain trade finance test. Facebook risks banking ties over Libra concerns, says Ing exec. Facebook's Marcus says China wins with digital renminbi if US nixes Libra. Ripple boosts blockchain advocacy efforts with DC office. Casa is helping Bitcoin investors pass on their holdings when they die. Bitcoin may rise toward $8,800, short-term cross indicates. FinCEN director warns of hard time for crypto firms that don't follow law. Telegram backer sought Circle listing before SEC halted token launch. Bitcoin IRA is letting customers lend out their crypto retirement funds. Fiat to crypto carry trade may tempt traders tired of negative interest rates. Flaws in local Bitcoin's data call into question regional adoption claims. Now let's get started. Bitcoin.com acquires Japanese blockchain developer O3 Labs. Bitcoin.com has acquired Japanese blockchain developers O3 Labs and will absorb the team, the company announced Monday. The deal, which began in talks a few months ago and closed recently for an undisclosed sum, will see O3 Labs' 8-person developer team integrate into Bitcoin.com's 30-person engineering team, CEO Stefan Rust told CoinDesk. They will begin working on applications to support the Bitcoin Cash network. Bitcoin.com's executive chairman Roger Ver, whose early bet on Bitcoin and subsequent crypto evangelism earned him the nickname Bitcoin Jesus, is a major promoter of Bitcoin Cash. Rust told CoinDesk that the partnership will play into Bitcoin.com's goal of opening up global finance and wallet functionality. In a statement, he also said the partnership will give users the ability to manage, grow, and spend while doing business with whomever they want, whenever they want, without the need for traditional banks or financial intermediaries. When asked for the specific projects O3's members would now work on, Rust declined, saying only that projects including a wallet privacy mode and integration of simple ledger protocol tokens that pay holders dividends, were in the works. I think you can see some interesting innovations in our wallet within the next 2 to 3 months. The O3 team has previously built Neo and Ontology blockchain applications, the statement said. Watch, Ava blockchain founder plans to launch in December. The sky's the limit in terms of how these subnetworks can be constructed. That's MNGN Surer, CEO of Ava Labs and associate professor at Cornell University. Surer is talking about his soon-to-be-launched proof-of-stake PoS blockchain, Ava. Ava is almost feature-complete with its own codebase. We're hoping to go public with a testnet soon, within the next month and mainnet sometime between December and February, said Surer. Ava will be comprised of multiple different subnetworks able to be uniquely coded to support different types of decentralized applications, dApps. Part of the interesting aspect of the Ava platform is that it gives you a very modular infrastructure for developing any kind of functionality you want, said Kevin Sekniki, chief protocol architect at Ava Labs. When you launch a chain on Ava, you get this blank state where you can import any additional functionality like the Ethereum virtual machine. As Surer suggests, these independent blockchain worlds can be coded to host unique privacy guarantees, be compliant with regional laws, or fulfill specific data storage requirements. Such flexibility is what differentiates the platform from other blockchains that have come before it. Ava is top of its class and it's going to show the world exactly what this blockchain space needs, said Surer. While affirming that proof-of-stake was the superior consensus protocol, Surer added that Ava is in a class of its own. All of these POS protocols that have been proposed today rely on the same foundation, and that foundation has been poorly specified. It has many shortcomings compared to what POW gives you out of the box, said Surer, adding, if there were to be a single winner, we are the best positioned team to win. Opera browser adds Bitcoin payments to Android update. The Opera web browser has added Bitcoin e-commerce and Tron integration to its Android app, the company said. The enhanced crypto functionality will let Opera for Android users make Bitcoin payments directly from its built-in digital wallet and interact with decentralized apps, dApps, on the Tron blockchain. It could increase crypto visibility among the browser's claimed 300 million users. Charles Hamill, head of crypto at Opera, told CoinDesk, most people have heard of Bitcoin, and thus we saw it as important to support it and make this feature more familiar to a larger group of people. Of the top five browsers, Chrome, Safari, Samsung Internet, UC Browser and Opera remains the only one to have digital wallet integration. Now it is another tech move by one of the web's oldest apps. Though technically a legacy product, Opera launched as a research project over two decades ago, the Norway-based web surfer pivoted towards crypto in the past year, regularly expanding digital wallet functionality to its mobile and desktop offerings. In July 2018, Opera for Android piloted an Ethereum digital wallet as a step towards Web 3.0, the vision of a decentralized future internet built on a blockchain. It then began studying blockchain growth opportunities with financial services advisors Ledger Capital that October. Since then, Opera introduced a Web3-ready Android browser, a crypto-friendly iOS app, a desktop browser with native digital wallet support, and partnered with a Swedish crypto broker to sell Scandinavians discounted ETH. Hamill told CoinDesk that the apps are now synchronized and optimized for adoption of a future Web3. But he said that adding Bitcoin was a challenge, as much because of its differences as its use cases. Bitcoin is a completely different beast that requires its own infrastructure and has a payment-focused usage scenario. Japan's third-largest bank completes blockchain trade finance test. Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corporation, SMBC, the third-largest bank by assets in Japan, is set to begin utilizing R3's Marco Polo trade finance blockchain on a commercial basis by the end of the year. The bank said on Friday last week that a cross-border proof-of-concept test was successfully completed involving Mitsui & Co., a Japanese general trading company, Indorama Ventures, a Thai company in the intermediate petrochemicals business, and Bangkok Bank, Thailand's third-largest bank. In the course of the exercise, Bangkok Bank issued a payment guarantee for Indorama Ventures to Mitsui & Co. Based on that guarantee, SMBC would have been able to undertake receivable financing in a real-world setting. The platform allows for participants to update purchase orders, invoices, logistics information, shipping schedules and port information, while auto-matching leads to highly efficient data reconciliation, according to the statement. Currently, the trade financing process remains to be manual and paper-based and is seen as highly inefficient. Marco Polo, which utilizes open-source Corda, is a network backed by Dublin-based TradeIX and New York-based R3 LLC. It counts a number of major financial institutions as its members, including Bangkok Bank, Mitsui & Co., SMBC, Bank of America, BNP Paribas, MasterCard, Standard Chartered, among others. The network recently completed tests for trade finance transactions between Russia and Germany. Trade finance using blockchain is a busy space, with an estimated 30 consortia seeking to apply the technology to the business. Competitors include Voltron, which also utilizes Corda and counts Bangkok Bank, HSBC and Standard Chartered among its partners, as well as Ethereum-based CargoX and eTrade Connect, which uses Hyperledger Fabric. The recent test follows a similar proof-of-concept exercise conducted by the SMBC earlier in the year, also involving Mitsui & Co. Very little information was provided by the bank about the February 2019 test, but it said at the time that it expected to commercialize Marco Polo by Q3 this year. Facebook risks banking ties over Libra concerns, says Ing Exec. An Ing executive warned banks may drop Facebook as a customer if the social media giant continues with its experimental foray into cryptocurrency without addressing regulatory concerns. In an interview with the Financial Times on Tuesday, CEO Ralph Hamers said the Libra project's unresolved regulatory issues place a degree of risk on banks, as gatekeepers, to the financial system. Hamers said the potential for Libra users to evade anti-money laundering standards and facilitate financial crime raises questions for banks to take measures and exit the client, or not accept the client. Adding, those are discussions you would have to have. In recent weeks, several prominent payments operators including Visa, Stripe and MasterCard have exited the non-binding letter of intent to join the Libra Association. However, Hamer's statement today is the first signal Libra's regulatory risks speak to the project's lead Facebook as a bankable client. A Facebook spokesperson said, "From the beginning, we've said we're committed to taking the time to get this right." The Libra Association published a white paper to begin a dialogue with the regulators and policymakers who oversee the stability and security of our financial systems. As a member of the Libra Association, we will continue to be a part of this dialogue to ensure that this global financial infrastructure is governed in a way that is reflective of the people it serves. Facebook will not offer Libra through its Calibra wallet until the association has fully addressed regulators' concerns and received appropriate approvals. "We are such a large, regulated institution that you don't want to risk anything," said Hamers. "We've said we'll take a look and see how this develops." Facebook's Marcus says China wins with digital renminbi if US nixes Libra. David Marcus, Facebook's top executive on the Libra project, said China will create a digital currency system that could be entirely out of reach for US authorities. Marcus warned that Washington risks having a whole part of the world completely blocked from U.S. sanctions and protected from U.S. sanctions and having a new digital reserve currency, according to an interview with Bloomberg News. "The future in 5 years, if we don't have a good answer, is basically China rewiring a large part of the world with a digital renminbi running on their controlled blockchain," Marcus said. China has been stepping up its efforts to push forward with its digital currency electronic payment, DCEP, since Facebook's unveiling of Libra in June. Chinese central bank officials have emphasized that one of the goals for China's cryptocurrency is to preempt the rise of Libra that would reinforce the dollar dominance in the international financial system. While Libra would be pegged to a basket of fiat currencies, excluding China's renminbi, one of the five reserved fiat currencies accepted by the International Monetary Fund (IMF) for international transactions. China's DCEP had been in the works, but the project's development accelerated after Libra was announced. The People's Bank of China appointed Mu Chengchun to lead the Research Institute on Digital Currency in September and detailed a proposal to launch and distribute the national coin among major Chinese commercial banks. Facebook's crypto initiative has met with resistance from the U.S. Senate and the Federal Reserve since it was announced in June. Five major partners, including PayPal, MasterCard and Visa, withdrew their support this month due to the business and regulatory challenges. Ripple boosts blockchain advocacy efforts with DC office. Ripple has opened a new office in Washington, DC in a bid to strengthen its advocacy efforts for blockchain and cryptocurrency. Announced on Tuesday, the blockchain payments technology provider said the new premises near the heart of U.S. government comes alongside expansion of its global regulatory team as it ramps up efforts to educate policymakers on the benefits of the tech. Amid that expansion, Craig Phillips, a former top aide to U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, has joined Ripple's board of directors. Phillips, the firm says, will bring depth to its policy leadership team and advise on strategic regulatory opportunities as the company grows. Other new members of Ripple's regulatory division include Susan Friedman, a senior advisor to CFTC Chairman Heath Tarbert when he was Assistant Secretary for International Markets at the Treasury, and Ron Hammond, a former legislative assistant to Rep. Warren Davidson, who led the drafting of the Token Taxonomy Act, as reported in September. Explaining the developments, Ripple said, "In the U.S. and abroad, it's important for policymakers to be armed with industry knowledge to help them shape conditions that will enable technological innovation to thrive." At Ripple, we look forward to continued conversations with policymakers and are building a team that brings a wealth of legislative and policy experience. Also revealed in today's announcement is that Ripple has become a member of the Blockchain Association, an industry body that advocates for blockchain tech and sets out to build relationships between firms building distributed solutions and government. Casa is helping Bitcoin investors pass on their holdings when they die. If you passed away tomorrow, would your loved ones be able to access your Bitcoin holdings? That's a concern addressed by a new service from crypto custody provider Casa that helps holders of the cryptocurrency ensure their assets are passed on after their death. Called Casa Covenant, the service combines multi-signature authorization with a security protocol to assign Bitcoin holdings for later inheritance. With the launch, Casa aims to tackle the quandary for Bitcoin users who may pass away while holding Bitcoin. Casa said their choices are currently, do nothing and potentially leave the Bitcoin inaccessible forever, share account details with a trusted individual, but risk theft, or use a third-party custodian who may not have a process for inheritance and may also pose a security risk. Casa's first-of-a-kind service provides a fourth option, according to a blog post on Monday. It allows users to securely pass on their Bitcoin to designated heirs after death, while minimizing the risk that the funds can be stolen in the time before. Users will need a Keymaster account with the firm and are recommended to work with an estate lawyer to ensure the correct process is carried out after they pass. The lawyer would protect a single client key in your multisig setup in the form of a hardware wallet, Casa said. The company will work with the lawyer to educate them on the management of private keys and provide tools to assist that process. It will also help with setting up the Covenant account and with technical aspects of the service, according to the post. On the tech side, the service adds an optional 6th multisig key to users' 3 of 5 key shield, resulting in a 3 of 6 setup that is, it would require a transaction to be signed by 3 of the 6 key holders to be valid. The extra key will be activated during the process of setting up the Covenant service and would be held by the client's estate lawyer, said Casa. If the client should pass away, the estate lawyer key, the Casa recovery key and the safety deposit box key would be used to recover the funds. Bitcoin may rise toward $8,800, short-term cross indicates. View. Bitcoin is looking north, with the hourly chart reporting a golden cross. Key resistance at $8,820 could be put to test over the next few days. On the downside, $7,800 is the level to beat for the bears. A widely tracked short-term Bitcoin price indicator has turned bullish, strengthening the case for a test of key resistance above $8,800. The cryptocurrency's 50-hour moving average (MA) has crossed above the 200-hour MA, confirming what is popularly known as Golden Cross, a bullish indicator. MA studies are based on backward-looking data and tend to lag prices. A Golden Cross, therefore, is widely considered as a lagging indicator, especially when it appears on longer duration charts. However, the crossovers on the hourly and other short-duration charts follow prices more closely and are thus more reliable as trend indicators. For instance, BTC drew bids and rose from $8,150 to $8,820, extending the recovery from $7,800 following the October 9th Golden Cross on the hourly chart. On similar lines, the latest bull cross may accelerate the ongoing recovery rally, pushing prices higher to $8,820, a bearish lower high created on October 11. As of writing, BTC is changing hands at $8,280, representing a 0.53% gain on a 24-hour basis. As discussed, the 50 and 200-hour MAs have produced a golden cross, bolstering the bullish setup, as indicated by the inverse head and shoulders breakout. The chart is also showing a bull flag breakout, a continuation pattern which accelerates the preceding rally. The flag breakout has opened the doors for $8,700 target as per the measured move method. The bullish case is supported by an above 50 reading on the Relative Strength Index, RSI. Bitcoin's repeated defense of $7,850. The 38.2% Fibonacci retracement of the rally from December 2018 low to June 2019 high indicates seller exhaustion. A similar message is being sent by the MACD histogram's higher lows below the zero line. Bitcoin is closing on the 21-day exponential moving average, EMA, which proved a tough nut to crack on Sunday and Monday. The level previously capped upside on October 9 and October 10. Further, the cryptocurrency's inability to hold above that average on October 11 was followed by a drop to $7,800. This time round, the stiff resistance, currently at $8,318, looks likely be breached, with the hourly chart reporting a bullish setup amid signs of seller exhaustion on the three-day chart. All in all, BTC looks set to challenge the bearish lower high of $8,820. A UTC close above that level is needed to confirm a bearish to bullish trend change, as discussed yesterday. FinCEN director warns of hard time for crypto firms that don't follow law. There is no ambiguity, crypto startups must follow U.S. anti-money laundering AML laws or else suffer the consequences, said the nation's top AML regulator. Kenneth Blanco, director of the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, warned the crypto industry Monday to take heed of the Bank Secrecy Act, BSA, and other AML regulations when setting up businesses because his agency certainly will. Blanco, who spoke at Georgetown University as part of the first day of DC FinTech Week, told moderator Chris Brummer that companies have no excuse for not knowing the law. What we tell everybody is if you're going to innovate, you better make sure that you're complying with your regulations prior to executing that innovation or prior to going to market, Blanco said. You better make sure that that happens because frankly you don't get to build it and then everybody comes around over it. He went on to add, you have to make sure that you comply with the law first and then you can execute and get to market. Otherwise that's not happening. I'll tell you, if you can't comply with your BSA, you're going to have a problem. You must comply, and we as a regulator, as the primary regulator and the administrator of the BSA, we will make sure that you do, and you're going to have a hard time if you don't. FinCEN won't accept that a company can't comply with the law either, he said. Any firms which do not believe they are able to fulfill the requirements in the BSA should not come to market, Bianco said. That's what our expectation is going to be moving forward, he said. Blanco's comments come at a time when industry observers expect enforcement actions around money laundering, due in part to a recent joint statement FinCEN published with the Securities and Exchange Commission and Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Exciting yet scary. Warnings aside, Blanco praised the idea of innovation, though he warned of potential national security risks throughout his speech. Some of it is really exciting, he said. The good is, wow, we can really protect society in many different ways or enjoy more job growth based on these kinds of inventions and ideas. On the other hand, it's scary how some of these same new tools can be used by bad actors, he added. Like any innovation, you have to be careful because sometimes those people who show up when you're innovating are the wrong people and the people who are trying to exploit it for the gaps that are there, so you have to keep that in mind, he warned. These malicious actors are what inspired laws like the BSA, he said. Society would want to protect the elderly and other groups that are susceptible to cyber fraud and other digital crimes. FinCEN is not anti-technology, Blanco later added. The agency is technology neutral, and despite his warnings to the industry, he believes that tech should continue advancing, though he reiterated it should be developed responsibly. Innovation must be responsible and it must be reasonable. You can't just build a car that only goes 190 miles an hour and say change the speed limit, it's not going to work that way, he said, concluding, your car is going to have to adapt. Otherwise, it's not coming on the road, bottom line, and that's the message. Telegram backer sought Circle listing before SEC halted token launch. At least one crypto exchange, Circle, was asked to list Telegram's tokens before the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, halted the launch of the TON blockchain, court filings show. According to documents submitted to the court by the SEC, the agency obtained a registration form titled Circle Asset Listing Form. According to the form, it was filed to request a listing on Circle's Poloniex crypto exchange and submitted by Sergey Vasin, chief operating officer of Black Moon, a small crypto exchange that earlier had announced plans to list Grams. In the form, Vasin said he was acting as the chief operating officer of Gram Vault, a crypto custodian that claimed to have brought a large part of investors into the 2018 Telegram token sale and was planning to hold the tokens on those investors' behalf. Responding to the question of how he was associated with the project, Vasin said that he's COO at the largest custody of Gram tokens, 75% of the second round, 50% of the first, and added that Telegram itself doesn't work with the exchanges. In the subpoena to Telegram, the SEC requested information regarding the potential trading of Grams on Coinbase, Poloniex, Bittrex, Huobi, Binance, Black Moon Crypto, and Liquid.io. The last two had previously announced they would list Grams. Coinbase has also recently announced plans to offer custody of the tokens. In the form, Vasin listed the main members of TUN's team, including brothers Pavel and Nikolai Durov, and said that around 20 core developers are working on the TUN project, plus some external teams, including TUN Labs, a startup led by the TUN investors that's developing tools for developers and validators of TUN. As TUN's value proposition, Vasin cited Telegram's 300 million member user base and scaling solutions, naming Ethereum as one of the project's competitors. Neither Vasin, nor a representative of Poloniex parent Circle, which announced plans to spin out the exchange a few days ago, responded to requests for comment by PressTime. Communications with SEC. The SEC sued Telegram on October 11, demanding it halt the launch of the messaging app's blockchain project, Telegram Open Network, TUN, and issuing tokens to investors in the private token sale in February and March of last year. The SEC cited Telegram's lack of collaboration with the regulator, pointing out that the company refused to comply with the SEC subpoena as an argument to the court for why it should halt the project. However, the court filings show that Telegram had been in communication with the SEC over the summer and prior to the launch of the mainnet, which had been previously scheduled for the end of October. In a document titled Fourth Supplemental Memorandum to the Staff of the Securities and Exchange Commission filed to the court by the company's lawyers and dated July 25, Telegram provided the details of the upcoming token distribution and several updates over the course of the year. During our meeting with the staff on July 18, 2019, we offered to provide this document summarizing key aspects of the TUN blockchain, Telegram wrote, adding that the memorandum followed four others previously sent to the SEC. The dates of those letters were June 26, 2018, November 20, 2018, February 27, 2019 and March 18, 2019. The company also proposed a step to ensure Grams would not be considered securities, offering to amend the functions of the TUN Reserve, the project's treasury. Telegram is open to removing the TUN Reserve's Gram buying function if the staff believes that its inclusion would cause Grams to be considered securities under HAWI. In an email to investors following the SEC lawsuit, Telegram said it had been interacting with the agency for more than a year, including the registration of the two offerings under Regulation D in February and March of last year. In the subpoena to Telegram, the agency requested a broad range of documentation from Telegram, including all communications with investors, exchanges, and potential custodians. The SEC wanted to know the complete list of investors, the current status and the details of the use of the funds Telegram raised in the token sale and how Telegram made sure the investors were planning to actively use Grams, rather than hold them as securities. In response to the SEC, Telegram lawyer Alexander Drylewski argued that providing all the requested information would violate the confidentiality of Telegram's relationships with investors. We're available to meet and confer regarding these requests, which, as you know, implicate significant data privacy issues, among others. A court hearing to decide the fate of the project in the U.S. had been previously scheduled for October 24 but was later postponed until February 18-19, 2020. Bitcoin IRA is letting customers lend out their crypto retirement funds. Bitcoin IRA will soon allow customers to lend their retirement assets for interest. The firm, which provides digital asset individual retirement accounts (IRAs), is partnering with digital currency trader and lender Genesis Trading to offer interest on cryptocurrency and cash holdings that customers want to lend out, including Bitcoin, Ether, XRP, Litecoin, and Zcash. The program will be launched in November with a limited number of participants on a first-come, first-served basis, and annual interest rates will vary based on lending coin and term length. Bitcoin IRA declined to define a limit, but Chief Operating Officer Chris Klein told CoinDesk that the firm aims to have the product available to anyone over the next 6 to 7 months. Klein said, "We're breaking new ground here, and we want to make sure clients understand everything and that it works well." The product is part of the company's goal to eliminate annual custodial and monthly wallet fees for customers, he added. Yet, the firm wouldn't reveal estimates on what interest rates would be. "We'll be able to offer more details on interest yields when we have an actual result," Klein said. "You'll see some groups offer up to 8 to 12% interest. They often have asterisks next to those numbers. Those rates are more in the 2 to 3 to 4% range. You'll see someone deploy a 12% rate on Bitcoin for 3 days. Bitcoin IRA chose Genesis because of the lending firm's track record for being able to take on new clients. Currently, Bitcoin IRA has processed more than $350 million in investments for more than 4,000 clients. Genesis has so far lent out a cumulative $2.3 billion in cryptocurrency and cash. The product expansion is a deepening of Genesis' relationship with Bitcoin IRA, which was already using Genesis over-the-counter trading desk. "They are the largest digital IRA provider that we are aware of, and I think that we always want to be working with the leaders in the space," Martin Garcia, co-head of sales and trading at Genesis, told CoinDesk. Moving forward, despite legal battle, Bitcoin IRA's partnership with Genesis comes despite the fact that the pension plan provider is embroiled in a lawsuit with Kingdom Trust, a Kentucky-based trust custodian that supported its product in 2016. Kingdom claims that Bitcoin IRA has been using deceptive practices to get customers to switch from Kingdom Trust to BitGo, a qualified custodian with which Bitcoin IRA partnered in June. Jason Anderson, president of Kingdom Trust, told CoinDesk, "Clients have been surprised to find that their account is being transferred to a new custodian. In a lot of cases, clients have chosen to reverse that decision." On Friday, a Kentucky federal judge dismissed Kingdom's claims with prejudice, and Bitcoin IRA has filed a motion that the claims should proceed in South Dakota, where it filed its countersuit. Despite the suit, Bitcoin IRA hasn't stopped releasing products. In early September, the firm announced facial recognition for authentication of transactions. Later last month, it announced crypto swaps from Bitcoin into Ether without delays in settlement. By next year, the firm aims to make its accounts open to a wider customer base by removing its $3,000 account minimum and replacing it with an automatic minimum monthly savings increment. While the firm doesn't have a set estimate yet, Klein said that $50 a month might be a realistic estimate. Klein said, "It's our biggest rollout. It will be designed so that everyone has access to retirement savings for cryptocurrencies." Fiat to crypto carry trade may tempt traders tired of negative interest rates. With the era of negative interest rates well and truly here, return-hungry investors may increasingly borrow in low-interest fiat currencies and invest in higher-yielding cryptocurrency accounts. "The fiat BTC carry trade is the next step in Bitcoin growth," tweeted popular Bitcoin quant investor at $100 trillion United States dollars on October 10. A carry trade is a strategy where a trader uses a low-yielding currency to fund a high-yielding investment. For instance, the yen carry trade was popular in 2004-2008 when the Federal Reserve hiked rates from 1% to 5.25% and interest rates in Japan were stuck near 0.5%. Investors borrowed in yen to fund dollar-denominated investments. As a result, the yen weakened by 20% against the US dollar. Currently, the carry trade in the FX markets is pretty much dead, with almost every advanced nation having interest rates at or below zero. But that situation bodes well for a new type of carry trade with a crypto twist. Lucrative lending, On the lending side, crypto asset platforms like Binance, Crypto.com, Celsius Network, BlockFi are paying interest rates on cryptocurrency deposits. They fund this with interest earned from credit lines extended to margin traders and hedgers. The interest rates are subject to fluctuations, either modified by the platform operator or influenced by the supply-demand mechanics of users interacting with the platform. For instance, the Bitfinex exchange pays an annual interest rate of 0.66% interest on Bitcoin deposits and provides loans at 0.59%, according to CoinMarketCap's new interest tracker. In a sense, Bitfinex is operating as a commercial bank by charging a higher rate on loans and paying relatively less on deposits. Think of the old 3-6-3 rule: borrow at 3%, lend at 6%, hit the golf course at 3, except unlike a bank, crypto exchanges never close. While Bitfinex is offering 0.66%, other platforms are paying significantly higher interest rates on Bitcoin deposits, as seen in the chart below. One possible reason for the disparity is that, like a demand deposit at a bank, Bitfinex allows customers to withdraw at any time, whereas other crypto platforms require the money to be locked up for a period for weeks or months. Crypto.com, for instance, is paying 6%, but deposits need to be maintained at least for 90 days. Then again, BlockFi also allows withdrawals anytime. It even removed an early withdrawal penalty, allowing one free withdrawal per month, and it is offering an annual interest rate of 6.20%. Meanwhile, crypto lending provider Nexo is offering up to 8% yield on deposits of stablecoins DAI, USD Coin, USDC, Paxos Standard, PAX, True USD, TUSD, and Tether, USDT. Stablecoins are cryptocurrencies whose value is pegged to a fiat currency like the US dollar. Central banks in Europe and Japan are running a negative interest rate policy, NIRP, under which financial institutions are required to pay an interest rate for parking excess reserves with the central bank. The Swiss National Bank, which introduced negative rates in 2015, currently has the lowest rate in the world at -0.75%. The Bank of Japan, BOJ, cut rates to -0.1% in January 2016 and has been running the negative interest rate policy ever since. The yield of -0.12% seen on the 10-year Japanese government bond is the side effect of BOJ's market-distorting policies. Also, corporate debt yields have recently hit unprecedented lows. For instance, Toyota Finance Corp will be issuing 3-year notes at an unprecedented low yield of 0.00000000091%, according to Bloomberg. It means a trader buying 1 billion yen of the bonds would not even make 1 yen on maturity. The situation is somewhat better for investors in the US and UK, where the target short-term rates set by the central bank stand at 1.75% and 0.75%, respectively. The benchmark 10-year government bond yields, however, are significantly lower than the interest rates paid by the likes of Nexo and Celsius Network. More importantly, central banks running NIRP are unlikely to normalize their policy anytime soon, given the bleak outlook for the global economy. The International Monetary Fund (IMF) recently slashed its 2019 global growth forecast to 6%, the lowest since 2008. All in all, interest rates across the globe are low and could slide further, boosting the allure of high-yielding crypto deposits. Aside from the interest rate differential, there's another reason borrowing fiat to buy Bitcoin could pay off. In May of next year, the amount of new Bitcoin awarded to miners every 10 minutes or so will be cut in half for the third time in the cryptocurrency's history. Historically, reward halvings have boded well for Bitcoin's price. The next halving could reduce the amount of new Bitcoin added to the market by $51 million per week at current prices, according to Alistair Milne, Chief Investment Officer of Altana Digital Currency Fund. As of writing, BTC is trading above $8,200, representing 120% gains on a year-to-date basis. And, if the carry trade becomes popular, all else equal, BTC should appreciate sharply against the USD, the way the greenback did against the Japanese yen. Flaws in local Bitcoin's data call into question regional adoption claims. When Bitcoin advocates claim adoption is surging in developing countries, particularly during periods of political unrest or economic turmoil, their go-to source for evidence is often local Bitcoins. The peer-to-peer exchange, which matches buyers and sellers of the largest cryptocurrency in nearly 250 countries, publishes weekly volume data for each nation and region where it has users. This constant stream of fresh data makes local Bitcoins a unique window into the global market. But a closer look at the way this data is collected shows substantial noise mixed in with the signals, undermining the claims of growing crypto use empowering the downtrodden. For example, in Hong Kong, local Bitcoin's data seemed to show increasing volumes, with media reports since August arguing that the protests were boosting crypto adoption. Yet one member of the city's long-standing Bitcoin community, who spoke on condition of anonymity, told CoinDesk there hasn't been any increase in Bitcoin awareness among protesters, nor a noticeable change in activity among regular local users. Researcher Matt Alberg reported that the volume spike in Hong Kong was actually caused by a single trader making roughly 30 transactions to quietly move a significant, albeit undisclosed, amount of Bitcoin. The platform lists both public and private offerings, the latter visible only to buyers pre-approved by the seller. Elsewhere, conversations with Bitcoin veterans in Iran and Egypt indicated local Bitcoin's volume data appeared to have little correlation to local trading activity. In Iran, sources say, it's common for traders to mislabel their offers as coming from another country to avoid having the trades cancelled by local Bitcoins. In Egypt, Cairo-based entrepreneur Mohamed Abdu told CoinDesk, "I don't believe in these statistics as it never reflects the real volume. Egypt is still in the gray area of crypto regulations, and it is not allowed publicly. This is why there's no clear data or statistics about it." Local Bitcoin spokeswoman Verushka Xavier Filguera told CoinDesk that some trading activity, especially for smaller amounts, can be and probably is miscategorized in regional data. Plus, she said, it is possible that some volume variation is driven by a particular high-volume trade or an exceptionally active period for a group of traders. For Hong Kong in particular, she said user acquisition has remained stable, at around 1,100 new registrations per 90 days, regardless of the protests. Out of more than 4 million registered accounts worldwide, Filguera said the platform had 542,852 active users in September 2019. Meanwhile, traction dipped dramatically in October, due in part to a renewed focus on enforcing Know Your Customer (KYC) policies. According to Alberg's data analytics website, local Bitcoin's overall volume in Latin America dipped 6% from roughly $9 million the week of September 29 to $8.5 million by October 20. Overall, the region saw $32 million less volume over the past 90 days, compared to the previous 90-day period. The good, the bad and the ugly. Traders in Venezuela told CoinDesk they believe some of the local Bitcoin's volume there comes from government officials looking to get richer, complicating Bitcoin's image as the great leveler. Such is the opinion of John VR, a programmer and entrepreneur who uses the platform regularly to exchange Bitcoins and pay his employees in Bolivares. Mining can only give you a certain amount, but to print Bolivares non-stop and then buy Bitcoins can give you much more, he said, explaining how government officials afford Bitcoin stashes. Although local Bitcoins has KYC data for its traders, spokeswoman Filguera would not say whether government officials in the repressive regimes where usage is highest are, themselves, using the platform. However, Alberg said that, since the average Venezuela trade is worth roughly $30, there's strong evidence to suggest a high ratio of middle-class civilian users, even if there are anomalies related to politicians and whales. Venezuelan expat and activist David Fernando Lopez agreed with this assessment. Government officials use gold as a way to funnel money in and out of the country, and lately, they've been talking about Bitcoin, Lopez said. But I don't think they're using local Bitcoins, that's more for regular people. Part of the October drop-off in volumes may also be related to users switching back to dollars as they become more accessible. Alberg said few Venezuelans prefer to store their value in Bitcoin when dollars are available. All things considered, and based on the anecdotal evidence, regional volume data from exchanges doesn't inherently correlate to growing usage or popularity on the ground. Oftentimes, they may reflect a visiting whale or single party moving assets offshore during an isolated deal. Filguera said high-volume traders must offer proof of local residence, but that regional data is still far from perfect. More research is needed to better understand Bitcoin usage in emerging markets. Speaking to the broader shift from techie hobbyists to users in restrictive political climates, Filguera concluded, "Local Bitcoin's largest volumes in 2014 were concentrated in countries like the UK and in the USA, and now we have Venezuela, Russia and Nigeria in the list of countries with the highest trade volumes, which doesn't only reflect the change in the profile of our user base but might also indicate a step forward in the usage of BTC as an alternative financial system." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.